You're listening to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community.
All right, this is The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene, the tracking community, and anybody else who wants to submit some awesome chiptunes. We are the host of the show. I'm Brian, and this is Ed.
Hello.
And today we've got a bit of a theme going on. Today we are looking at jazz in the demo scene, and we've got some really awesome stuff to play. Actually, I haven't really listened to all of your picks yet, so I'm hoping it's awesome.
Yes, it's jazz, it's funk, it's all in that kind of like sphere of music in that kind of particular genre. A lot of really upbeat stuff, some great grooves. Like that track that brought us in today was called In the Groove, and that was a 4-channel mod from Krylian. And what really got me about that track was that incredible fingering on those guitar solos, just like three or four solos, like as you go through the track, and they sounded so authentic. I really enjoyed how he manipulated those samples to make those sound so great.
Yeah, even the samples for the guitar, that electric, you know, jazz guitar, I thought it was so clean. It's like one of those D'Angelico guitars or Gibsons. Like, I could just imagine the guy sitting there just plucking away and just really closing his eyes and jamming out. It's so awesome.
Yeah, the finger noises were great.
Yeah, you know what I really liked, though, was the, and it kind of took a back seat, was the percussion, like those bongos and like all that stuff was just so rich and really kind of, you know, beefed out the track a lot.
Yeah, it almost gave me kind of a beatnik feel with those bongos. You know, see a bunch of guys with like berets, you know, playing in a smoky lounge with a guy on a guitar, just like, you know, his fingers going a mile a minute. It's very, very cool stuff. So that was released while Krylian was a member of the Grooving Brothers, and that was released in 1995. I don't know too much about Krylian. He was a member of the Dream Dealers in 1992. And Proton Limited before that, and Silicon before that, and then Grooving Brothers he joined in 1995. So he's been in a couple different groups. His real name is Cyril Jagot, and so this was on a music disc called Surfing on the Jazz Wave, and all the music on that disc featured his music, and obviously from the title you can tell this guy really likes his jazz, so all the music had a very jazz-oriented feel to it.
You know what's funny? I just realized that I almost picked a track from that demo disc.
That's really funny.
I almost did.
It's got a lot of good stuff. I heard all of it, and it was really hard for me to pick out which one. But, you know, those solos just really drew me in to pick this particular one.
That's so funny. I was literally in line at the DMV today, which is the most miserable experience ever. But I was sitting there, and I was watching, I think it was on YouTube, they had like the actual demo, and they went through each of the tracks. And I was rocking out, and I was just like, man, this is awesome. I should have picked one of these, but I'm glad you did. That's great. That's so funny.
Yeah, we'll definitely put a link to that YouTube video that you just mentioned, because I've got it right here in my notes. We'll put up a link to that in our Facebook group so everybody can check it out. It's got a lot of great stuff in it.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to the topic at hand, when you were the one that said, hey, why don't we do something like jazz or funk?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, like, okay, jazz. I used to play jazz in high school and some of college, and I was thinking, man, there's a lot of variety, a lot of styles in jazz. It's such an unclear, you know,
it's kind of a broad genre.
I guess it's kind of a broad genre, but there really is a lot of fun stuff. You got, you know, acid jazz. You got, you know, your, you know, mellow funk, your smooth jazz, contemporary jazz, modern, classic, just a ton of different stuff. And I think we've kind of hit the spectrum with what we have in this episode. So,
oh yeah,
looking
for sure.
Forward to
and
it.
You know, I think a lot of the demo scene music out there owes a lot to jazz to begin with, because even if the rhythm and the melody isn't necessarily jazz, I mean, most of the solos that you hear use jazz scales and are very, very jazz oriented. So, you know, these are tracks that we picked that kind of maybe are 100% jazz, but do owe a lot to the genre in terms of like the lead instruments, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I don't think that the demo scene would be necessarily where it is if it weren't for those jazz influences.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I think that even with tracks that are more like chiptune sounding, there's
like dusk pop stuff.
Right. There's little subtle hints of riffs or different scales that have been, you know, kind of absorbed in by the jazz, you know, the jazz scene. So that's
sure,
pretty
sure.
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you ready for my first track of the day?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What is it?
Well, this is a track that I knew nothing about, and nothing about the artist, but it's pretty rad. It's called What's the Catch? And this is a 10-channel XM file at 373 kilobytes. Let's take a listen.
All right. We'll be right back.
right. That was titled What's the Catch? Composed by Beat. And again, that is a 10-channel XM file at 373 kilobytes. And Beat's real name is Seth Peel, and he is an American musician that's been doing this as a hobby since around the early 90s. And he was a member of Brain Death, Full Circle, and Osmosis. And this track was released December 27th, 1997 for the Phosh Special Combo in 1997. So I just thought, you know, when I heard this track, when I first heard it, you know the saying, you can't judge a book by its cover?
Mm-hmm.
You can't judge a track by its intro, because I first heard the track and I was like, God, like, what's going to go on here? Like, this,
yeah.
I was not really enjoying it, to be honest. But when that that flute solo comes in, I'm like, I'm digging this. And then it's like, it's got these demo scene tropes kind of peppered in. I mean, you could obviously pick them all out, but it's kind of odd because they're set around this kind of funky, jazzy track that doesn't necessarily have any, mechanical feel to it. But I mean, that saxophone solo that comes in, that's what did it for me. I think that was the major kind of selling point why I wanted to put this in here. It's like this industrial funk with a jazz solo on top of it. I mean, what's better than that? Nothing. So
that bass groove was so meaty. And it's funny that you mention like industrial and machinery and stuff, because like in that breakdown in the middle of the track, like it really sounds like this smooth jazz machine just like completely runs out of oil or something, and gears just start popping off of it, and then it kind of goes into this slow little strummy piece and then picks right back up again. So I really, really enjoyed that part. So the song title is called What's the Catch? The only catch I could find is I felt like the samples were maybe a little too staticky. Like if they were a little bit better quality and a little warmer sounding, I think it would have made the track even better. But I heard like a little bit of a static on a lot of the instruments. That's the only thing that I could pick out. But other than that, I thought the arrangement and the melody were fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Especially on the the slides, like the portamento or the glissando.
Yeah, yeah.
You can hear like the samples kind of breaking apart.
It kind of hiss at the end too, yeah.
Right. But I mean, you know, the file size isn't really that big. I mean, 373K, that's not too big for a 10-channel XM file, so.
Right. And it was, 1997, compression wasn't that great, you know, not nearly as good as it is now, too.
Right.
You know, it's hard to get those samples in there and still sounding good at the same time.
Yeah, so I found this by accident, actually. I don't remember when. It must have been last week or so when we had talked about doing this episode. And I was kind of going through just a bunch of stuff that was on my phone, actually. And this popped up. And, you know, I was in the car, so I was like, I'm too lazy to change it. I'll just keep listening. And then, like I said, when those solos kind of picked up and you get, like, the different kind of break beats in the background, just... Wow, I was convinced. It was good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You know, it totally caught me off guard as well. I expected one thing and it just swung 180 in a different direction, and I loved it the whole way through. It's kind of like going on a amusement park ride or something.
I wish I knew more about this this artist. I looked around, couldn't find a whole lot. I mean, I guess he's still doing some composition stuff here and there, but it's just a hobby for him, so, you know, he's probably got, you know, his own thing going on. I think he does some artwork as well, some graphic design stuff. So
cool. Yeah, we don't very often hear from Americans on the show, so it's nice to kind of showcase one every once in a while. Being an American show, you know.
All right, so let's move on to our next track. What do you got for us?
Sure, this is one of my token Commodore 64 picks. This one is called X-Jazz, and it is from Booker. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back. That was X-Jazz by Booker. He was either in Amorphous Onslaught or SIDWAVE at this point. I'm not really sure. That was a 7-kilobyte SID file using the 8580 chip in PAL timing. And yeah, great track.
Oh man, I love this. I'm so curious. How'd you find this track?
Well, actually, I didn't find this track. A special little guy found this track. His name is Logan. And he's, how old are you?
5.5.
5.5 years old, and he's my son, and we were listening to some really cool jazz SID tracks last night, remember? Right? Well, you helped me pick which track you liked?
Yes.
Well, let me ask him. Hey, Logan, why did you pick this track? Because I think you broke it.
I didn't break it.
Did it sound like it was broken?
Never.
Well, what do you like about the track?
I like about when it's so cool when the bass is on.
When the bass goes really low?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have a subwoofer under my desk, so he was underneath it with his hand on the subwoofer, feeling that super low bass.
Getting a little...
Really enjoyed that
A little
part.
Back massage and...
And how did the song make you feel?
Great.
Made you feel great, and it was very energetic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about it?
Well, it just really makes me great because I like how the beat goes.
So you like how the beat goes? You like the drums?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah, well said.
Any other instruments? Did you hear any other instruments in there that you could pick out?
Well, no.
No? I think there were some horns, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Sound a little bit like horns?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about chip tunes? What do you think about the music we were listening to yesterday?
Good.
Really good? You want to help me pick out some more tracks on future episodes?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show with me.
Just a few more years and I'll have him replace you.
Yeah, you can guest host with Brian and I'll go upstairs. What do you think?
Yeah.
Do a podcast by yourself?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. So Logan's going to hang out with us, I guess, for a little bit more until it's his bedtime. But anyway, so let's talk a little bit about X-Jazz. And so X-Jazz was written by Booker. His real name is Marcin Kubica, and he is from Poland. This song came out in 2010 and took third place in the C64 music compo at X2010. So I guess that's why it's called X-Jazz.
That's pretty awesome, dude. I really like the that filter shift, I guess, or I get, maybe it's like register shift where it kind of like opens up and switches back in. And then obviously that part where it just sounds like the whole record's broken is phenomenal. That's such a cool thing. Like when
the filtering was amazing.
Yeah, I hadn't listened to it on purpose. Well, I listened to the first part, and that second part I had missed. I was waiting to listen to it with you. So when I was listening, I was really confused. I was checking SID play. I was like, wait a minute, like, did I
something broken?
Did I
there?
Something? And then I saw you guys kind of laughing. I was like, oh, okay, all right, I gotcha. Oh, excellent track, man.
My favorite part was like that really stuck out of a bump 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 bump. It sounded like you know those jazz marching bands they have at like amusement parks?
Yeah.
Like all the guys come out and they've got like the plastic tubas and so they're, you know, they're just like jumping around and like playing all these instruments and everything. It really reminded me of that kind of style of music.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was jamming.
And Logan he just whispered in my ear, he wanted to let everybody know he was not even born when this song came out.
Yeah, but I almost was.
You almost were. Yeah. Mommy and I got married in 2010. You were born in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 5 years ago.
Get him an Amiga.
Yeah, like I wish.
2001, you and Mommy first met each other.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. You're good with your history. Ancient history. So anyways,
awesome.
So Booker is currently a member of Multistyle Labs. He joined them in 2014. He was a member of Amorphous, Caution, Lords of Darkness, No Name Onslaught, Shelters, and SIDWAVE. And he took his handle from that series that lasted for a little while, like aired in like 1989 and 90. It was called Booker. It was about like a crime detective starring Richard Grieco when he was like in his 20s. So
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. Didn't last very long, but the chiptune senior name goes on, I guess.
<That's>, sure. Anyways, you ready to move on to the next track?
Of course.
All right, so this next one is, I was kind of debating to play this or not, because this is a track that pops into my mind when I think of Demo Scene Jazz, but it's kind of got a little controversy around it. The track is called Acid Jazzed Evening, composed by Tempest. Right, that was Acid Jazzed Evening, composed by Tempest from the group Damage. And this is a 4-channel mod file at 57 kilobytes. And this was released August 5th, 2000. And it took first place in the Assembly Old School Music Competition. I absolutely love this track, and I have for many, many years. And it's stuck with me and always kind of... I think that melody is just too damn catchy, and you can't get it out of your head. So it's just stuck with me that long because of that reason. But yeah, I really like this track, and I'm curious what you thought about it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Logan stayed down here to listen to the song with me, and he had to go upstairs to go back to bed. So no more co-host with me right now, but he was bopping around too. He really enjoyed it. It's got some great solos. You know, it's a very traditional sounding chiptune.
Right.
You know, I always tend to pick like the ones that really sound like out there and very unique. So I kind of almost gloss over the stuff that sounds traditional to me in a sense. But, you know, when I really like listen to this one, it's got some great smooth parts. The soloing is fantastic. You know, I just didn't want it to end, pretty much.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a good kind of back and forth between us, is because I am kind of more of a traditional demo scene kind of, I guess I seek out that stuff. And you're kind of the opposite. You go for the more, you know, out there tracks. And, you know, when we combine our forces, we get a really unique show. So that works out.
Yeah. Exactly.
I really like the use of arpeggio in this track. I think they're very dampened, and they're it's a very clever use, I think.
Yeah, the little crescendos, they just keep going. Blah, 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 blah. It's a really cool effect.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it's kind of a simple track. It's got that lead, it's got the arpeggios, and it's got that, nice little, riff in the background with the drums behind that. And, there's not really a whole lot to it. But I think all the parts work together so well that it's just really fun to listen to and, bop your head to.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was listening with Logan yesterday when we were picking out some tracks, I was listening to some mods in OpenMPT, so I was showing him how to mute the different channels. And so he was like, he wanted me to mute the channels while we were listening to this track. And I'm like, no, this is really good. I want to listen to the whole thing. I might miss something that's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a little sceneer when he grows up, I think. He was really into listening to these chiptunes. So hopefully I'm setting him on the right course.
Good boy. Good boy. All right. So Tempest's real name is Jani Suni, and he's a Finnish composer and member of Fairlight. He has been in the scene for ages, dating back to 1997. That's the earliest module that I could find from him. Wow. But I'm sure he's been in it way before that. He's highly involved in the C64 scene, both for music and graphics. And he's also been a contributor to the Chiperia project, issues 1-3. So more recent stuff is coming out. It's really awesome. Now, he's mostly well known in the scene for other tracks, not just this one. But outside of the demo scene sphere, this track by far is the most well-known. And like I said, it's really controversial because I remember when I heard about this story, and I, stop me if you've heard it, but don't stop me because, just keep playing the episode.
All the listeners and they're like, no, we've already heard it.
Just pause the episode indefinitely. anyways, yeah, this was in the news and I remember being so pissed off about it. But anyways, what happened was, a C64 composer named Glenn Galifos had asked Suni to recreate the track if he could borrow it and just recreate it for the C64. So he made a version for the SID, which just sounds incredible. And Suni gave him the okay and everything was kosher. And then there was a dance pop song that came out in 2007 by Nelly Furtado.
Called, oh, I did hear about
yes,
this. Yes, yes,
called,
yes.
Called Do It. And that was produced by Timbaland.
Yep.
Yes. And Timbaland basically took the whole, a whole section from the C64.
Just put a beat over it, basically.
Exactly. Took a whole section from the C64 version, plopped it directly into the background of his own track, and sold it as his own. So, huge controversy around this. And, of course, having a ton of money, he got away with it. And, nobody could say much to him other than that. But he even openly admitted, I sampled this track. But, if you listen to it, I think there's a clear definition between sampling and, just lifting a track completely.
Blatant plagiarism. Yeah.
Oh, it's blatant plagiarism.
Jeez.
And so, copyright laws and stuff don't work really well across, overseas and stuff. So, there wasn't much that you could do, but,
Right. Well, especially since the original song, no money was made off of it anyway. It's not
exactly
something that was already copyrighted. So it's kind of like a gray area.
Yeah. Well, it actually had the rights to it. The original composer had the rights to it. And, they took it to court in, I think it was Sweden. Maybe they took it to court. Maybe it was Finland or something. But they kind of lost that claim. But, it's sad. But, Timbaland's a thief. And that's all we got to remember from this whole ordeal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but this also wasn't the first time he used a SID file in his own stuff and claimed, I guess he did some other ringtone or something with another track. But anyways, I guess I give him props for listening to Commodore 64 music. I mean, that's
very true.
At least that's cool. Too bad he's stealing it, but yeah, originally, like I said, I didn't want to play this track because I was like, I hate that. That still angers me to this day, but it's such a damn good track that, I immediately think of this when I think of jazz in the scene.
Yeah, no, definitely deserves to be heard. So, controversy aside, at least it's not a controversy with the actual authors of the track. They did their part and they were on the right side of the law, at least in my opinion. So,
yeah.
So it's kind of like infamy for the wrong reason.
Yep. Anyways, cool track.
Yeah.
Let's move on. What do you got for us?
So, my last track of the day is called Thursday, and this is a track by Sequencer.
But it's only Tuesday, Ed.
Well, you know what? It's Thursday and when you're listening to this track, and then it goes back to Tuesday.
Well, actually, wait, no, today's Monday.
Today, Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
It's only Thursday when you listen to this track. That's the... Then it goes back to whatever day
That's
it is.
The takeaway. All right, let's check it out.
And we're back. That was Thursday from Sequencer of Unreal Productions. It was a 4 kilobyte SID file using the 8580 chip. Sequencer's real name is Neil Voss, and he's pretty famous for doing a couple of really incredible Nintendo 64 soundtracks, namely Tetrisphere and the New Tetris.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. And then he also did a Game Boy Advance game called Racing Gears Advance, which had some just incredible sampled music.
Really? I actually have never heard that one.
Yeah, we actually played a track from it a long time ago on Pixel Tunes Radio.
Oh, well, then I probably have heard it.
You probably have and just forgot about it, but I'll send you the soundtrack. It's really good stuff. Basically, Neil Voss started off when he was like 12 years old, playing around with a Commodore 64. He just, you know, had one of those great brains for technology and music. And so he just started making chiptunes. And if you go through like the High Voltage SID collection, look at Sequencer's folder, there's like, it just keeps going and going and going. There's so many tracks that he's uploaded to that. Yeah. And this one just really caught my ear as just kind of this funky, jazzy tune, some great smooth jazz parts, a lot of really nice solos. Not really indicative of a lot of the stuff that he did that I was familiar with from the N64 and the Game Boy Advance. That stuff was more like Big Beat, Prodigy, Chemical Brothers style stuff. But this one is just nice and smooth. What did you think of it, Brian?
Well, listening to this track, I never would have guessed that it was Neil Voss. I mean, just without you telling me, I never would have come to that conclusion. I like this track, though. It's got these really kind of staticky, you know, like staccatos over this crunchy but smooth bass. It's kind of a weird thing to put those two words together, but it's got these really nice kind of bass drops that kind of pop in every now and then, and those little staccatos over the top of that make it just really, really unique and fun to listen to. This is a killer track. I'm kind of sad it's only a minute and a half long, because I could have used another 3 minutes of this.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, a lot of his other stuff is very good, too. So, you know, check Sequencer's stuff out. There's a lot of really good SID and C64 stuff that you can listen to from him. A lot of it has, you know, this kind of a feel. I wonder why I called it Thursday. Maybe he was just composing a song on a Thursday and didn't have a name.
He's like, he's looking at his calendar. He's like, I got to think of a title for this track.
Yeah.
Run out of time.
Yeah. Ooh.
Man, okay, Thursday it is.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. Anyways, so how did you come across this one?
Just because I made the connection. I think I was looking at the Unepic Stoned High SID collection on YouTube. This just, you know, I was looking at a bunch of SID tracks on YouTube, and this happened to pop up on the sidebar of suggested tracks. And, you know, it said Sequencer, and then next to it in parentheses was Neil Voss. And I'm like, holy cow, I totally forgot that he was a C64 scener. And so that got me into, you know, checking out his music and just running through those. I was like, wow, this one fits perfectly for the show. So threw it in. Nowadays, Voss, well, he founded an iOS app called Ultra Visual. And it's kind of an app on your phone. It's kind of like a social media thing, but it's like an art curation app. And so you can scroll through like really cool artwork, learn about the artists. It's a lot of really cool functionality and almost feels like an HTML5 website. It's lots of moving parts, and like the whole UI of the whole color of the UI of the app changes depending on like the primary colors in the app. It's just really, really well put together.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he headed that up. Nowadays he's doing stuff with VR technology.
Who isn't?
And I follow him. Well, exactly. I know it's one of the major things nowadays. But you can follow him on Twitter at Neil Voss. He's pretty snarky about new technology that's coming out. He's kind of fun to follow. So he's just a really good guy. I really enjoy all the music that he's made.
Cool. All right. Well, are we on our last track now?
I think you are the last one of the night, sir.
All right. Well, I'm going to stick with the Sid.
Yay!
And also, we're going to... Yay. And we're actually going to hear from another artist that's pretty well known. This is a track called Kiss My Jazz from Dane from the group Crest. We're back. That was Kiss My Jazz from Dane from the group Crest, and this was using the 6581, and this was released in 2006, and it was used in a C64 demo called X2006 Slideshow. I picked this track because I thought it was incredible. I loved this track, like everything about it. I can listen to this track a million times and I'll get sick of it. I really like it's jumpy, skippy, warm feeling. It's got a ton of energy. It's just a feel good track. And I really like the little, Take Five influences in there, the Tito Puente stuff. And just altogether, just a stellar little, stellar little Sid file, man. It's just really good.
For me, it sits somewhere between like jazz and reggae. It's got that very kind of slow cadence to it.
Yeah.
That very filtered instrument in the background. It's almost like an arpeggio, but it almost feels like a saw.
Yeah.
Like, wah, 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 wah,
yeah, I was
like
gonna,
it bounces.
Yeah, I was gonna
it's
say
very reggae.
I was gonna say the same thing. It's almost like a whirp, whirp.
Yeah,
whirp.
Yeah.
You know,
it doesn't really sound like Sid at all.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. But I really enjoyed that part, and yeah, just some great solos in there, some very fun stuff to listen to. Thumbs up from me, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah, Dane is a super well-known composer. Very, very well-known. I mean, you can find his stuff everywhere. I think I counted in the High Voltage Sid collection like 172 different tracks.
Holy crap.
Yeah, Justin. Yeah, it was like incredible how much this guy's put out. He's a fabulous artist, and he's just got music for days. You could put a playlist of just his stuff and be totally content for weeks and weeks on end.
Literally for days, yeah.
Yeah, so Dane, his real name is Stellan Andersson, and he's a Swedish composer that was a member of Crest and Triad, but then he moved over to Booz Design. And he was also one of the founding members of Twilight, which was a C64 demo group.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
Yep, and they put out a lot of things like disc mags and some music discs and some graphic discs, stuff like that, but I think like the big thing, you know, for them was that Dane was their composer. I mean, that was like the number yeah. one thing.
Their claim to fame.
You know, surprisingly, for as well known as this guy is, there's really not a lot of info on him. So I kind of was a little bit short on my research, but I couldn't really find a whole lot. Now, he does have a SoundCloud that you can check out. We'll put links in the show notes. It's Dane BD is the link. But he does like a little bit of staging for his music. So he'll put it up on SoundCloud as kind of his work in progress stuff. So you can kind of listen to it that way. But, you know, otherwise, this guy's doesn't really have a big internet presence outside of his, you know, his demo scene handle.
Yeah, some people just want to be known by their music, you know? And when you have this many tracks, I guess you can kind of let that speak for itself, you know? People can get your personality and influences just by listening to your content.
Yep. Well, I think, Ed, that about wraps up the show.
Yeah, that was a great selection of music, man. I think people are going to enjoy this one.
I think so, too. Anyways, if you want to know more about the show, you can find us online at impulseproject.info, and we are also on Facebook.
Yeah, check us out at facebook.com/groups/impulseproject. And there we post our shows. Other people come, and we get a lot of chiptuners and sceners that are a member of this group, and they post up their own stuff when they release it, or old stuff that they've had, you know, kicking around on their hard drive forever. A bunch of chip music fans. So it's always a great time. There's always somebody posting something cool on our Facebook group.
Yeah, and, you know, it's crazy. We're getting just a surge of, you know, demo scene artists and stuff want to join in and post their stuff, so it's really cool. I'm thrilled, you know, every time we get, you know, new people joining in, it's always a blast. So also want to, you know, recommend, if you guys have a few minutes, check us out on iTunes and give us a review, give us a rating. That always means something. It's always special for us to check those out. So thank you very much to those who have given us reviews so far, and that's about it.
Indeed. And you can find us on Twitter at ImpulseCast. You can find me on Twitter at Ruiner9.
And I am at DokiDokiPanic. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you back in a few weeks for our next episode.
See you next time.